"Don't touch that tree," Belay said. I froze. I was climbing a low, crumbly hill and had been about to support myself by grasping a scrawny, almost vine-like tree with splayed leaves. "Triplaris americana," said Belay, an expert in forest botany. "You have to watch out for it." In an unusual arrangement, he said, T. americana plays host to colonies of tiny red ants. Indeed, it has trouble surviving without them. The ants occupy minute tunnels just beneath the bark. In return for shelter, the ants attack anything that touches the tree, insect, bird, unwary writer. The venom-squirting ferocity of their attack gives rise to T. americana's local nickname, Devil Tree. At the base of the Devil Tree, exposing its roots, was a deserted animal burrow. Belay scraped out some dirt with a knife, then waved me over, along with my son Newell, who was accompanying us. The depression was thick with busted pottery. We could see the rims of plates and what looked like the foot of a tea kettle. It was shaped like a human foot, complete with painted toenails. Belay plucked out half a dozen pieces of ceramic, shards of pots and plates, a chipped length of cylindrical bar that may have been part of a pot's support leg. As much as an eighth of the hill, by volume, was composed of such fragments, he said. You could dig almost anywhere on it and see the like. We were clambering up an immense pile of broken crockery. The pile is known as Ibibate, at 59 feet, one of the tallest known forested mounds in the Beni. Erickson explained to me that the pieces of ceramic were probably intended to help build up and aerate the muddy soil for settlement and agriculture. But though this explanation makes sense on engineering grounds, he said, it doesn't make the long-ago actions of the mound builders any less mysterious. The mounds cover such an enormous area that they seem unlikely to be the byproduct of waste. Monte Testaccio, the hill of broken pots southeast of Rome, was a garbage dump for the entire imperial city. Ibibate is larger than Monte Testaccio, and but one of hundreds of similar mounds. Surely the Beni did not generate more waste than Rome. The ceramics in Ibibate, Erickson argues, indicate that large numbers of people, many of them skilled laborers, lived for a long time on these mounds, feasting and drinking exuberantly all the while. The number of potters necessary to make the heaps of crockery, the time required for labor, the number of people needed to provide food and shelter for the potters, the organization of large-scale destruction and burial, all of it was evidence, to Erickson's way of thinking, that 1,000 years ago the Beni was the site of a highly structured society, one that through archaeological investigation was just beginning to come into view. From the top of Ibibate, we were able to see the surrounding savanna. Perhaps a quarter mile away, across a stretch of yellow, waist-high grass, was a straight line of trees, an ancient raised causeway, Erickson said. Otherwise, the countryside was so flat that we could see for miles in every direction, or rather, we could have seen for miles, if the air in some directions had not been filled with smoke. Afterward, I wondered about the relationship of our escorts, two Siriano Indians, Chiro Cuellar and his son-in-law Rafael, to this place. Were the Siriano like contemporary Italians living among the monuments of the Roman Empire? I asked Erickson and Belay that question during the drive back. Their answer continued sporadically through the rest of the evening. In the 1970s, they said, most authorities would have answered my question about the Siriano in one way. Today, most would answer it in another, different way. The difference involves what I came to think of, rather unfairly, as Holmberg's mistake. Although the Siriano are but one of a score of Native American groups in the Beni, they are the best known. Between 1940 and 1942, a young doctoral student named Alan R. Holmberg lived among them. He published his account of their lives, Nomads of the Longbow, in 1950. The title refers to the 6-foot bows the Siriano use for hunting. Quickly recognized as a classic, Nomads remains an iconic and influential text. As filtered through countless other scholarly articles and the popular press, it became one of the main sources for the outside world's image of South American Indians.